You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined by Kyle Scheidler, my colleague at the Center for Security Policy, where he directs our Threat Information Office, really a go-to resource on the challenges that we're facing from the jihad, both of the violent kind and the civilization kind, among others. Kyle is an expert in these matters. He previously served as a director of research and communications at the highly esteemed Endowment for Middle East Truth, and has been a contributing author to, among other things, its book Saudi Arabia and the Global Islamic Terrorist Network, America and the West's Fatal Embrace. Kyle, welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Frank.
Let me ask you about Saudi Arabia. It's been getting a lot of attention, much of it critical of late, as you know, in particular in connection with the possible declassification at long last of 28 pages of a congressional report looking into its involvement as an official government operation in the 9/11 attacks. Kyle Scheidler, you know a lot about the Saudis. Give us a sense of the likelihood that the Saudis were doing such a thing.
Well, the Saudis were almost certainly, they had some level of involvement. What exactly that is remains to be seen. And obviously, if we were able to access these 28 pages, these classified pages, we would know a lot more. What we do know, of course, is that the Saudis for a long time played a role in the sort of support and finance function of organizations which then supported al-Qaeda. We're talking about organizations like the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, which was the sort of Wahhabist organization that the Saudis used to fund mosques and fund Islamist organizations, which then in turn funneled money to al-Qaeda. So the Saudis play the most key role in creating the infrastructure which then undergirds all of what al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups were able to accomplish.
We're visiting with Kyle Scheidler of the Threat Information Office. He directs at the Center for Security Policy. And Kyle, you were just touching on an incredibly important point, it seems to me, and that is that what the Saudis have been doing for a long time, whether it's through this so-called WAMI, the World Association of Muslim Youth, or organizations like the North American Islamic Trust, has been building mosques, which in turn create, as you say, a kind of a support network for jihadists of the violent stripe, as well as the sort of pre-violent kind, as I call it, the civilization kind. How do they do that? What is the funding mechanism, and what are the orders of magnitude of what they've put into this enterprise?
Well, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars, and they do it through a variety of different ways. Obviously, they have the sort of international structure, the World Assembly of Muslim Youth and other groups like that, which are moving money around to various other Islamic entities, which then are in turn controlling and building the mosques. And you mentioned the North American Islamic Trust, which is a good example of that. The North American Islamic Trust is an organization of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. We know that because of documents that were submitted at the Holy Land Foundation trial. But its real job is to hold the deed to U.S. mosques. And so that then enables them, that is the Muslim Brotherhood and other Saudi-supported radicals, to use those mosques for their recruitment, for their indoctrination of people who will come to be jihadists by moving them through stages of indoctrination and recruitment. And so that's what we saw in the lead up to 9/11. You saw individuals like, for example, Anwar al-Awlaki, who worked out of Dar al-Hijra Mosque in Falls Church, and individuals like this still to this day play a very key role in recruiting and indoctrinating individuals to jihad terrorism.
When you see what the Brotherhood has been doing, Kyle, it's unmistakable that it's about jihad, of course. But what does that tell us? What's the relationship between the Saudis and the Muslim Brotherhood? Obviously, the supporting of their activities is going on. But I had thought at one point that the Saudis had actually declared the Brotherhood a terrorist organization, had they not?
Well, they had. The on-again, off-again relationship between the Saudis and the Muslim Brotherhood is one of these things that, as Westerners, were perhaps often befuddled by. Prior to 9/11, and certainly prior to the takeover of Egypt by the Muslim Brotherhood, the Saudis had largely used the brothers as a part of the transmission chain for the moving of this money and this radical material, this Sharia-adherent material around the world. But following the takeover in Egypt, the Saudis became very concerned that they themselves would become a target. This is the sort of relationship that the Saudis have always had with Islamists, is because despite their own support for these causes abroad, they are not interested in seeing those same forces turned back on them and risking their control of the Arabian Peninsula.
It's kind of, I guess, a protection racket. They wind up supporting these guys with the condition that they wage their jihad someplace else, not in the kingdom. Let me ask you about one of the most prominent Muslim brothers that we know about, Kyle, a fellow by the name of Jamal Barzinji. Give us a sense of his background and his involvement with the, well, with the Brotherhood for sure, but also perhaps with the Saudis.
Well, Barzinji passed away in September of last year, but during his time in America, he was the co-founder of the International Institute of Islamic Thought, located in Fairfax, Virginia, and it's a very prominent Muslim Brotherhood think tank. They really kind of provide some of the intellectual backbone for the Civilization Jihad project that the Muslim Brotherhood carries out in the United States. In fact, one of their they introduced the term civilizational battle to talk about this idea of a conflict between civilizations at the ideological rather than at the military level. Additionally, Barzinji was the founder or one of the founding members of the Muslim Students Association, which was the first Muslim Brotherhood organization in the United States. He was the general manager of the North American Islamic Trust. He was a member of the Shura Council of the Islamic Society of North America, and he was a director of the Safa Group, which was a network of charities and companies in Northern Virginia that was raided by federal authorities for funding Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. He was also a member of a number of other Brotherhood organizations as
well. So this is quite a pedigree. What do you make, Kyle Scheidler, of the Threat Information Office, then, of the fact that the White House, which has been quite embracing of Muslim Brotherhood operatives and organizations here and abroad for some time now, has decided to pick, of all people, Jamal Barzinji's grandson, Zaki, to be its head of public outreach to this Muslim community?
Well, you might say to yourself, perhaps the son didn't follow in the footsteps of the father, which would, one, indicate to me that you don't understand the nature of the Muslim Brotherhood, because it is very much a family enterprise. But you would also need to know that Zaki Barzinji was himself the former president of the Muslim Youth of North America, which is another Brotherhood-oriented organization that was named in the explanatory memorandum of the Brotherhood when it was found in that house of that Hamas operative in Virginia and entered into evidence at the Holy Land Foundation trial. So this is an individual who is a leader of a group, a named group, that the government is well aware is associated with the Muslim Brotherhood, and yet he is being selected to represent the U.S. government to Muslim Americans in this country. And that sends a terrible message, but it has been a message that the Obama White House has sent uninterrupted since he took office in 2009.
It's nonetheless staggering. Kyle Scheidler, we thank you so much for the work that you do bird-dogging these various organizations and their influence operations, their subversion, their civilization jihad here in the United States as well as elsewhere around the world. Keep it up, my good friend, and come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll be speaking with Gordon Chang. We'll talk about the latest North Korean missile launch and President Obama's appalling visit to Hiroshima. Right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.